download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk, WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, well, we're live. You know, there's never enough time. Right here, Tom. Right here. Tom, over here, next to me. Tom, don't be afraid. I'm trying to... No, never. Just trying to corral everybody into the room. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, our next segment. Is we're kind of doing our goodbyes with Jesse and Amy and a little bit of a conversation breaking out in the hallway. It's a good Memorial Day. Of course, we start... I turn to my right, State Representative Tom Coulter.
How are you, my friend?
How are you, sir?
Good to see you.
Now, what did you do today as far as service? I know you're somebody who...
Yeah, I have
you
six
get around
towns.
To your district.
I get all around.
Did anybody actually get out in March today? Were you a lot of inside ceremonies?
They were all inside, yeah. But very, very nice. In Kingston, we were at the Council on Aging. It was very, very intimate. The music was wonderful. It was a different type of Memorial Day event, but it was very nice.
And, of course, besides Tom... Who else do we have here? You know all the players.
I know all the players. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, you don't have it on the big thing like we do here. But if you will, go around the room.
Right, well, Paul Collis is from the Central Plymouth Water Commission. You know Rich, of course, our friend. And Kate...
Archard
is from the
Brockton Water Commission.
She is a water commissioner. And we're kind of all here for this segment to kind of get an update. As to Paul, if you want, it's good pizza, if you want to have yourself a piece in between conversation here.
I may take you up on that.
Absolutely, please do. We wanted to kind of get an idea of what the latest, we know that tomorrow night at the Brockton City Council, I believe the Finance Committee, is actually going to be having a conversation, and the part of the conversation is going to be about the Aquaria desalination plant that has been an ongoing conversation for 2 years? 2 years?
Sure.
2 years when they're talking about purchasing it, and I know that you, Tom, have been kind of in conversation in regards to what's going on with Silver Lake and protecting this beautiful mm-hmm. resource that the region has that's shared by Brockton and a lot of the other folks here
right.
in the South Shore. And Paul, somebody who also is on top of this as well. Give me the latest that's going on in your area in regards to
sure.
Silver Lake and the conversation.
Well, just by way of some history, in 1964, the legislature passed a law allowing Brockton to draw water down for its use from the city of from the Silver Lake in Kingston. The law was written very clearly. There's no question Brockton has the right to use that water. No question, and nobody from the other district towns, Paul, I believe it's seven towns, is questioning that right. But also in that 64 legislation, Kevin, there were very clear and strict requirements for maintaining Silver Lake and the supporting bodies of water. And the way that's done is by regulating the flow in a way that closely resembles the natural ecosystem. And so there are two objectives, the quantity of water that can be provided for Brockton. Remember, the town that it's in, Kingston, works off of wells. Mm. Kingston doesn't even draw from that body of water. And the second objective in the legislation is to maintain those bodies, the quality of those bodies of water for drinking, for recreation, and for general use. Well, now here we are, 2016, and we've met the first objective, which is the quantity of water. But those bodies of water, not necessarily Silver Lake, but the supporting bodies of water, Montponset Pond,
sure.
Stump Brook. I brought the lieutenant governor down there a couple of months ago, and she had never seen anything like it. So we've got a problem. The way the gates are opened and closed have been controlled by Brockton, the Central Plymouth Water Commission, which is the executive board that was created by the Act in order to provide instruction on flow and water management has been organized for a couple of years now. They've given orders to the representative from Brockton on opening and closing gates. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. And the net result is we've got a body of water that has become stagnant. There are other factors driving the pollution problems as well, but have become stagnant. So we're at a position now, and I'm watching the vote very, very closely tomorrow night, where we've got to decide what we're going to do. This is decision time. Either we have to work harmoniously with Brockton. That's all of our first desire. Or I will file legislation in January in the new session, which requires Brockton to hook up to the MWRA, or they can create their own water supply through their desal plant. They can do whatever they want. But it's the same old thing. It's like your father saying to you, I'm going to let you take the car out tonight, but here are the conditions. And if you don't meet the conditions, then you don't get to take the car out anymore. And so we're at that point now where Paul has worked very hard with many members of the commission to find some common ground. We just haven't been able to do so. And right now we've got some serious environmental problems, and it's costing a lot of money, so it's time for action. So I think that gives you the best background I can give you right now.
I guess your batteries died. You were kicking out. So that's did we get most of that conversation, Jesse? All right, we did. Paul, do you want to weigh in on this and give kind of give your thoughts? I mean, again, somebody who's who watches over this resource, give your thoughts.
As Tom said, I'm a member of the Central Plymouth County Water District Commission, and we've been working. We're all volunteers. We have a member from the town of Plymouth, Plimpton, and a member from the city of Brockton. And we've been working with the Brockton Water Department and Brockton Water Commission trying to learn about the problems that are facing us in the Central Plymouth County Water District. And one of the issues that Tom alluded to is that the supporting bodies of water for Silver Lake, most notably Mont Ponsett Pond, have become contaminated. And these bodies of water in the 1964 law were classified as auxiliary supplies. They were not supposed to be the primary source.
Right.
Yet, over the years, Brockton, with the acquiescence of the state, has taken more and more water. So that's problem number one. For example, just this year, Brockton has taken 1.3 billion gallons of water from Mont Ponsett Pond, which represents 84% of the water that's been pumped to Silver Lake. So that's hardly an auxiliary supply. That seems more like a primary supply. But that is now compounded by the water quality issue that Tom alluded to, because we, in Mont Ponsett Pond, have high levels of cyanobacteria, which is blue-green algae.
Right.
When it reaches high levels, it produces toxins. These toxins are a public health hazard. And since 2008, the State Department of Public Health has had a public health advisory for Mont Ponsett Pond every summer. So here we have Brockton relying on Mont Ponsett Pond water, overly relying, given the 1964 law's characterization as auxiliary supply, over-relying on Mont Ponsett Pond, and the pond water is contaminated. So it's a huge challenge for the district. I say the district because this is a regional situation. It's not just Brockton. Many towns, as you know, depend on Silver Lake. Most notably, Whitman gets all of their water from Silver Lake. The town of Hanson gets, I think, like 100 households get their water from Silver Lake. So this is a huge problem that Brockton's relying so much on Mont Ponsett Pond, and Mont Ponsett Pond is in trouble. That's just a summary for
it. I'm just curious, why are they drawing so much water out of Mont Ponsett and not as much out of Silver Lake?
Well,
and by the way, I'm still upset that Whitman gave up the rights to Silver Lake over 100 years ago.
They did.
Right? I know they did, and we should have owned Silver Lake, not Brockton. But anyway.
It goes back to...
let's be clear, Rich. Brockton does not own Silver
Lake. Well, we still had the rights to it. We don't own it, but we had the rights to it and gave it to Brockton. We shouldn't have... But I am curious, why do they use as much more water out of Mont Ponsett?
And Tom can speak to some of this. Some of this is political power.
Yep.
Going back to 1964, even, and especially. The other part, the more technical part, and I don't want to get into it too much, is the Water Management Act in the mid-1980s required everybody to have a water registration if you took water from a natural source for drinking or whatever. They did not set a water registration for Mont Ponsett Pond. They commingled it with Silver Lake. So it was open season on not just Mont Ponsett Pond, but Furnace Pond too. There's no water registration. If you go to the DEP and you ask what's the water registration amount for Mont Ponsett Pond or Furnace Pond, they say there isn't one. It's commingled with Silver Lake.
Right.
That's how they did it.
It's important to understand, and then I promise I'll be quiet after this. It's important to understand that in 1964, I lived in the town next door, Avon, and I remember the summer distinctly. We were Brockton was taking water out of D.W. Field Park, out of the water supply there.
That's actually their backup, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And there was a horrible drought. And I remember it well because it was a summer that there were fires all the time. And I get caught in one of those fires, and I was in the hospital for several months. And it was because the fire wasn't put out completely. That's when the legislation was passed to draw it down from Silver Lake. It was never intended to be a permanent fix. It's like some of the bridges were built in Massachusetts. They have been beyond their lifespan now for 15, 20, 30 years, and they're structurally deficient, and we're still using them, and we refuse to replace or repair them. It was never intended to be a permanent fix, but it's become a permanent fix. And it's typical. There are no bad dogs here. Nobody's done anything wrong. It's just that demand has outpaced the supply and the capacity. And there are consequences when that happens. And the consequence here is if you go to Montponsett Pond in Halifax and travel around the pond, and I was shocked to find this. Halifax is in my district, and it's why I brought the lieutenant governor down there. There are times during the summer you can throw a rock into the water, and it sits on top of the algae. There are canoes that have cobwebs in them that can no longer go in the water. This isn't Mexico. This is 10 miles down the road. Yeah. At Montponsett Pond, and it's unacceptable, and it can't continue, and it's not going to continue.
Well, Brockton had to look for an alternative resource, supposedly back
50 years ago.
I'm talking about when the state got involved and said, "Listen, you got to make a decision. What do you want to do? Do you want to go with MWRA? Do you want to look for your own source, whether it was the DSAL or Silver Lake?" And there have been ongoing conversations in regards to Aquaria. And I believe that this coming week, we are going to have a conversation. Is the city council or the finance committee going to actually have some kind of a conversation about this that you know of, Kate?
Well, they've invited Pine Dubois from the Jones River Landing Association to explain things. Part of the problem is, you know, with history is not too many people have really tracked along with this. And so we have newly elected people that have no understanding. And you have people serving on boards and commissions with no background in hydrology or engineering or policy or environmental policy. And, you know, it really is everybody's responsibility and it's everybody's duty to try to figure this out. And there's not going to be one quick fix. It's going to be a lot of things. It's going to be the management of the diversions, because that's not going to stop, and it's going to be the treating of the bacteria, and it's going to be also using the supplemental source. We were mandated to find a supplemental source. The city chose to go DSAL, although there were alternatives. There was a well in Hanson.
Yep.
I really a firm believer in that we are wasting so much water due to lack of really effective conservation. I think that we could be out of Silver Lake by a lot more million gallons a day and not having to divert as aggressively if we did all of the above, if we shored up our conservation efforts, if we used a supplemental source and managed the diversions better. We've got to do all of them. Everybody's looking for one silver bullet. It's not. It's going to be all of them.
I so much appreciate your leadership on this, and you've always been a voice of reason, and I appreciate that. I want to point out that in our town, Kingston, in my town, Kingston and Paulstown, Halifax, we live off our wells, and they cost us tens of millions of dollars in digging the wells, maintaining the wells, and treating the wells. In terms of conservation, come July 1st, if not sooner, we have a water ban. We have to shut off our water and let our lawns turn brown to preserve or conserve the water that comes from those wells.
Mm.
And I so appreciate Kate saying that, because to my knowledge, Brockton hasn't had a water ban in decades.
I remember back as a kid, when you would look in the Enterprise, and it would tell you how far down the lake was, and you had to conserve water.
I'm not so sure about the water ban as opposed to a total moratorium. I mean, being from Whitman and being in the real estate business, we had an absolute moratorium for decades.
Exactly.
I mean, I was building houses in the 80s and 90s, and we had no water. We had to put, I did subdivisions of every one of them had a private well. So I'm stunned. I actually always thought that Kingston got their water from Silver Lake as well. No, I'm stunned as I sit
the
here.
The body of water is in Kingston, and we don't take a drop from it.
I don't believe, you know, it's amazing.
Well, it's Rich, you should be interested in this. You know, you get your water in Whitman from Brockton. And
Brockton processes it.
And you pay a couple of $1 million a year for that.
We know from the statistics that I described today that 84% of that water that goes to Silver Lake and back to Whitman came from Monponsa Pond.
Exactly right.
Which travels through Whitman into the pipes and back again. It's amazing.
The most important point is picture for your listeners, picture this huge body of water, Silver Lake. You know, Paul can talk in technical terms. I can't, and Kate can. But you picture this big body of water, and that's where the water supply is supposed to come from. The supplemental bodies of water at Monponsa Pond is supposed to be emergency backup. Yeah. So water comes out of Monponsa every day to make sure that Silver Lake stays full. So there's always plenty of water. Now, when Silver Lake is full and it rains, where does the overflow go? Out to the ocean.
Yeah.
Fresh water goes out to the ocean and is lost forever. Yeah. So because Brockton has controlled the gates, and I don't say the term Brockton in any disrespectful or degrading way. We're going to work this out. Because they control the gates which allow the diversion, they're keeping the water level very high, so they always have the quantity of water they need. But in order to maintain it high, they're drawing down the supplemental water supplies, particularly Monponsa and Stump Brook. Then drawing that down, which is causing the stagnation and the contamination.
Yeah, it's damaging other water resources
exactly
around it.
Exactly
yeah.
right. So we've gone to DEP, and we're working closely with Brockton to develop, this is our last ditch effort, to develop a consent order, a regulatory consent order, which describes exactly what they can and can't do under the direction of the Central Plymouth Water District.
Now, I have to ask, where do things stand? Kate, you know probably better than anybody here in this room. Where do things stand as far as the aquarial water source? Because it seems as though it was 2 years ago that the Mayor Bill Carpenter came forth and says, we're going to look to buy this. I know that prior administrations made the attempts to try to get out of the contract and probably wanted to just stick with Silver Lake and utilizing that resource. Where do things stand? Because last I knew, it was with the Water Commission looking to take a vote, have a conversation, speak with the public, get some kind of insight, and then move the conversation along to the city council. Where do things stand that you know of at this time?
Well, I know that we have a contract, a 20-year contract, that locks us in to only a maximum of 4 million gallons a day at the maximum.
If it can produce it.
Yeah, but the way the contract was written, we're paying for the rights to that, but we don't have to actually take that water, nor can anyone force us to take the water. And that's part of the problem, because that's the loophole that has caused a lot of this. It also has caused a loophole on the water supplier's side, which is a conglomerate, a Korean company owns it now, where they're not actually paying to do the upgrades necessary and the capacity necessary because they don't have to. And so right now, the focus, I believe, should be in sitting down with a good contract attorney, both sides, to show where there are breaches. And there are breaches based on the fact that they're not at capacity. So even if we were to, you know, try to take all the water, right now they can only really make 3.3 million gallons. So that helps us some with additional, but it's certainly not 9 million gallons, 10 million gallons
right,
a day. So that's not, it was never going to be the answer to everything. I think it was supposed to be the answer to the supplemental, but it didn't materialize based on cost, I think, and just that loophole. But there's a lot of problems, you know, with that. Right now, I'm concerned about the South Coastal Rail Project. The pipe goes over the rail thing. The pipe will need to be relocated if it can be relocated. We don't know yet. So there's a lot of this unknown stuff happening that
as to who will foot the bill to fix, rectify that.
Absolutely. Yep. And my concern for the city is by buying it, we buy all that liability. We buy all those upgrades. And I don't want to see that happen. I want to see, you know, we have a lease agreement, say, for, you know, 20 years.
But how far in is the city at this point?
9 years. We're nine years in.
So you're at the halfway point.
Yeah. But even at the halfway point, they haven't upgraded to where they need to be. So I think we need to really push them to do that and then talk about what is the place worth, because you can't even get a price on that right now.
Kate, I think it's important for listeners to understand, though, that by and large, the plant's not being utilized.
No. Absolutely.
You know, the plant was built for $60 million, and yes, it would provide 4 million gallons a day, which would be somewhat equal to what's being taken in supplemental waters out of Montponsett Pond.
Right.
But the plant's not being used at all. It's a big
paper. But the conversation that has been had over the past years was to find other suitors to purchase the water.
But
the problem is,
yeah.
I know. I'm talking about the politics of the
yes.
whole thing, okay?
Well,
I'm not talking about the truth. The politics of the whole thing, and that is that the whole idea and what has been justified over the years is that we're going to find other people to buy this.
But to me, that's
water.
An internal family issue in Brockton.
Of course it is.
That's not a central
I'm not
decided.
Saying it's right or wrong. Yeah. I'm just telling you that's what the conversation is.
There is a solution to it.
There's always a solution.
There's plenty of untapped capacity at the MWRA. And you can hook up right in Stoughton, which is the neighbor of Brockton. All of this can be solved with a very simple piece of legislation. And my hope is that between now and next spring, really, tremendous progress is made. And if it's not made, please don't let this sound like a threat. I will bring the entire legislature down to Montponsett Pond. The governor, lieutenant governor, has already been there. They're embarrassed that this condition exists in this Commonwealth. And at the same time, I'll file legislation requiring Brockton to hook up to the MWRA. This, and I will turn it into an environmental crisis that will require immediate action.
Are we looking at a little bit of a battle going on here? I mean, do you think Brockton and the elected officials in that community are going to just go, oh, or is there going to be a fight where the elected officials in City Hall are going to go to their legislative delegation and go, hey, help us?
It's one of those things. It's why I've always appreciated Kate coming here. It's one of those things that, you know, there are political fights on Beacon Hill that have to do with ideology, differences sure. of opinion. And then there are issues like this that have to do with equity and fairness, right and wrong. And even the legislative delegation from Brockton, when they come down and see Montponsett Pond, they take a deep breath.
Yeah, they were down there not too long ago,
and they say,
in the past 6 months.
Oh, my goodness. And Kate just said it. There are so many new people. They don't know the extent to which this crisis exists.
Yeah. The osmosis needed for them to be able to absorb all this information and comprehend it.
That's right.
And they haven't been in office long enough to be able to get a full grasp of what's at stake here.
And I do understand, Paul, I'm sorry, but I do understand that if they were forced to hook up to MWRA, that's a tremendous expense for the people of Brockton. My whole family lives in Brockton, so I'm not particularly excited about it. I'm not worried about the politicians from Brockton. I'm worried about my
family. No, I understand that.
From Brockton.
No, I understand that.
Disowning me. But my point is this. It doesn't have to come to that. There are solutions. If we could get the gentleman who represents the water commissioners to the committee, his name isn't important here, to work with us and work on water management versus double talking and ignoring orders and not getting back to people, this problem can be resolved with people working together. We don't have to shut Brockton off and we don't have to go to war, but we do have to work together to avoid that war.
By the way, I'm for Brockton getting a connection to MWRA because a part of my responsibility on the Water Commission is to make sure we have an alternative emergency situation. Where would we get 9 million gallons a day should Silver Lake, the treatment facility blow up? We don't have a backup source, so I don't have
burst.
A problem with that,
yep.
With the MWRA, but it wouldn't be for the total amount either. But it's interesting to me that you would have us go to MWRA in legislation rather than have us just use the Aquaria. Why wouldn't you do
that? But that doesn't get you near, Paul, you can speak to that
well,
in terms of capacity.
Unfortunately, the issue is pretty simple. The water that they're getting now, that the Brockton Water Department is taking now, is essentially, except for treatment cost, essentially free. The water that they would be buying from Aquaria is expensive, and that's why they don't want to buy
that's
it.
That's correct.
You know, and that it's simple as that. The problem is, and I'm showing you, your viewers, or your audience can't see it, but there's a picture of algae here.
Paint the picture, Paul.
It's bright green algae, and it is disgusting to look at. And yes, Brockton, by the time it gets to Silver Lake, Brockton treats the water, and it's certified by the DEP as safe. But you can't keep continue doing this. And, you know, it's right. pretty extreme when you see the green water and it's going to someone's drinking source.
Right.
And so there's going to be a tipping point here. And I agree with Kate. I think they've got to have a supplemental source, whether it's the MWRA or Aquaria. If they're going to buy Aquaria, they need to be required to use it. What I would really fear is they're going to buy Aquaria and they're going to use it for economic development and still take the water that from Montponsor Pond and Furnace Pond and Stump Brook that is, quite frankly, compromised.
Again, that's Paul Collis you just heard. And, of course, we got Kate Archer and the state rep, Tom Coulter, here. And we're talking about just getting the latest and having the latest conversation in regards to what's going on with Silver Lake, the bodies of water that are around it that are being affected by it, and maybe some of the solutions down the road, depending on whether or not one particular community is willing to take a look at that, or if it's going to be something that may be forced upon them with legislation, which is very interesting. What do you think, Kate, as far as the purchase of Aquaria? Do you think that the city is going to actually purchase it, or do you think this is something that isn't going to happen? It's just we're just seeing a lot of political smoke.
I don't think it's necessary for the city to purchase it. I think that the lease agreement as it stands right now, even though it's expensive, is adequate because I believe, and I was told by somebody who knows the plant, that what it's actually costing them to produce the water versus what they're charging us, is it costs them more.
Yeah, Paul said that, yeah.
So I think that we're in a good position, but we also need to make sure that the plant has done its work by the upgrades that are necessary there and the other kinds of things that, you know, they have to show that they can deliver that
four million gallons
day in, day out. And there's a question of that.
But and I was going to say that. Yeah, there are questions as to whether or not this plant can produce on a regular basis the amount of water that's needed. And while you do have some officials at Brockton City Hall who say, oh, well, it's produced X amount for so many days, there are people who are questioning if that actually happened.
It hasn't happened consistently. It's just, again, it's been a bad politically, you know, they put the idea in place, but then they didn't do the follow through. It's like a lot of things that have a political, resolution rather than the engineering or the environment resolution. But we do want to work with the neighbors. We want to make sure Montponsett is where, you know, where it needs to be. And we're looking at technology for the gates and things. I think there needs to be more control over that.
It's just good. I'm smiling here. Folks can't see it, but, you know, I've been kind of following a story about adding fluoride to water sources for the city of Brockton, one of them being Silver Lake, and, of course, the desal plant, and one being Avon DW. And I wonder how that plays a role in this as well, as far as adding fluoride into the drinking water. How do you do that when it's not your, right. It's not your resource?
Well, it's also like figuring out what color the walls are going to be on the 12th floor when the foundation is crumbling.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not sure it's time to talk about fluoride, but it's important.
No, but it's a conversation that's been had. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's been ordered by our Department of Public Health that they thought that was a good idea, and we're wrestling with it.
It's another fight for another day. We'll talk about that.
It's important to understand that there are so many issues that need to be resolved, that can be resolved if we had more leaders from Brockton, like Kate. And I don't say that because you're here, Kate. You've always been the voice of reason. But by way of example, the law specifically assigns to the Central Plymouth Water Commission, the three-member board, the authority for water management. The commissioners in Brockton actually challenged that language, and so House Counsel and the Massachusetts House of Representatives sent a letter giving them explicit executive and administrative control over the bodies of water. And the water commissioners said, we don't agree. And so they continue to open and close gates contrary to the orders issued by the commission. So that's going to be challenged in court if it doesn't get resolved this summer. The use of the water body is going to be challenged in the legislature if it doesn't get resolved this summer. And nobody wants that to happen.
No.
If we could just communicate and work together, and we can. Brockton can have plenty of water, and we can maintain those bodies by working together.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants the same thing, clean water. I mean, that's the goal. We have to have it. And as Tom says, we just need to work together to achieve it.
And I think that, you know, everybody wants clean water, but everybody thinks water's free. And they'll buy bottled water, but when the water comes out of the tap, they don't want to spend 10 cents more or whatever, you know. And that's got to change, too, because water is the new oil. If we don't protect our water and conserve our water, we're in big trouble.
So true. Yeah.
And we're doing a lot of development in Brockton, and we need to look at using the use of recycled water. I am so tired of people not looking at that and doing something about that.
You get final word, Representative.
Well, I just want to say that, really, I mean it sincerely, Kate, I so appreciate your leadership on this issue. If we can continue to talk to folks in Brockton the way we've always been able to talk, we're going to resolve this problem short of the courts and short of new legislation. But I would encourage you to bring that leadership back to the board and invite them to sit down with Paul and his team. If it gets to me, it's too late. It's gone too far. Yep. With Paul, Paul's a very reasonable guy. Your representative is a very reasonable man. They're all reasonable people who all want the same thing. So I thank you for your leadership, and I'd appreciate you bringing that home.
And let's try to have this conversation as we have more updates. Definitely, I hope you look to Monday Night Talk as a place to come and have that conversation.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes,
yeah, we provide,
you
know, courtesy of Richard Rosen, you know, good eats and some something to drink. So I want to thank Paul and Kate and the representative for being here this evening, at least for this segment. And at least we know where things are at the moment. Of course, they could change tomorrow. That's how quick things happen. We're going to step aside. And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.